All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Monday night conference call. I guess we'll get started. Let's see, a couple of things. Obviously, we've got a lot to report about tonight. We've been getting some letters and some responses from the various clerks, some county clerks and some court clerks. And some of them we're not going to talk about tonight because we want to see what's going to happen on Wednesday. We'll talk about that first and then see where we go with that, because depending on how we respond to these people will be dependent upon what happens down in Nassau County. And so I think before we get into Nassau County, I just want to go through the press release. This particular press release is found on our Jurist document page right here. It's the very first document. We've looked at this before recently, and it's how to handle the press. And so we just updated this. While I was sitting waiting, I was just going through this, and I kind of just broke this up into sentences, you know, chunks. Instead, it was just one big paragraph. So I'll eventually do the same thing on the one that's up there right now. But it's pretty much the same thing that's up there right now. And, you know, how to handle the press. If you're going to make any statements to the press or basically give an idea of what we're doing and what we're about, here's one, two, three, four, five statements. You can make all five, or you can make one of them, two of them, whatever you want to do. And if you don't want to talk to the press, you know, we have, of course, the handout, and the handout has all this stuff in there. And definitely after you talk with the press, you want to give them a handout anyway. But basically, the grand jury is an institution separate from the courts over whose functioning the courts do not preside. That's a statement you might want to make. And again, you can read this yourself. One of the key things here is our founding fathers with foresight created a buffer the people may rely upon for justice when public officials, including judges, criminally violate the law. Now, that's an exact quote. Now, I did send an email out, and in that email, I did send a quote out, and a couple of people told me that they couldn't find it in the Williams case. So I went back looking for it myself. Let me open up the Williams case. So I might as well just look directly at it. I think I have the copy of the Williams case right on this page. Let's see. Here it is. Okay, the quote that I had put in, I think it was under here. Yeah, I thought it was right up. Oh, here it is. Okay, yeah. No, that's not it either. All right, well, oh, here it is. Right on the top here. It says here, thus citizens have the unbridled right to impanel their own grand juries and present true bill of indictments to a court, which is then required to commence a criminal proceeding. Our founding fathers precedently thereby created a buffer the people may rely upon for justice when public officials, including judges, criminally violate the law. Now, when I did a search on this, this was above the case itself. I got this off of Bill Thornton's site. And someone apparently added this up here, and it turns out that this exact quote is not found in the Williams case. So I want to let everybody know that we acknowledge that fact and we stand corrected. But nevertheless, the conclusions are found in the case. So someone really kind of tightened up with a sentence or two to create a very powerful, strong conclusion, but it's not an exact quote. We have not included that in our paperwork, in our presentment, and the information we wrote, you know, the letter we wrote to the court clerk, which we're going to talk about. Luckily, because I if I would have noticed it before, I would have added it, but I'm glad that I didn't notice it, so I didn't add it, and so it's not in there as some kind of an exact quote. So we'll stand corrected on that, and let's move on. So I guess the first thing, we got a letter from Nassau County, the clerk, and Freddie, I'm going to read this letter. And it says, I am in receipt of your letter, dated September 4th, 2013. I have reviewed your request. As I mentioned on the phone, the rules governing the impaneling of a grand jury are adopted by the Appellate Division, 2nd Department. You have no standing to request a common law grand jury. Please see Criminal Procedure Law, Section 190.10 below. And it says here, the appellate division of each judicial department shall adopt rules governing the number and the terms of which grand jury shall be drawn and impaneled by the superior courts within the department, its departments provided. However, that a grand jury may be drawn and impaneled for any extraordinary term of the Supreme Court upon the order of a justice assigned to hold such term. Okay, well, those are statutes, and that's what they said. But I find it very interesting that the people don't have a standing to become the consenters, which is exactly what becoming a common law jurist is. You become a consentor. And the first place we read about a consentor, of course, is in the Declaration of Independence, where it said that we have government by the consent of the people. So they're telling you you don't have any standing. Of course, we couldn't let that stand. That we cannot allow. So we responded to him with a letter, and here is the letter that we wrote to him. This was delivered. This letter and a copy of a presentment was delivered today. I'm not sure whether it went Federal Express or certified mail, but it went one of those ways. And we wrote on Friday, September 26, 2013, in New York County Jury. In New York County, jurors of the Bronx County, Columbia, Dutchess, Greene, Kings, Nassau, New York County, Orange, Putnam, Queens, Rockland, Suffolk County, Sullivan, and Westchester County came together to consider a presentment against you, and we put his name, Donald F. Vetter, for acting under color of law to prevent the people of Nassau County from performing their unalienable right to sit as consenters. Notice of Full Faith and Credit Clause, Article 4, Section 1 of the Constitution for the United States of America states, full faith and credit shall be given in each state to the public act records and judicial proceedings of every other state. Violations are criminal felonies, offenses pursuant to 18 U.S. Code, subsection 241, 242, 1951, and 2071. We also put in some code from California government code section. It says, enacting this chapter, the legislature finds and declares that the public commissions, board and council and other public agencies in the state exist to aid the conduct of the people's business. See also the Declaration of Independence, which states the same thing. It is the intent of the law that this their action be taken openly, and that their deliberation be conducted openly. The people of the state do not yield their sovereignty, in other words, the master's authority, to the agencies which serve them. The people in delegating authority do not give their public servants right to decide what is good for the people to know and what is good for them, what is not good for them to know. Article 1, Section 2, Power Inherent in the People. All power is inherent to the people. All free governments are founded in their authority and instituted for their benefit. They have, therefore, an unalienable and indefeasible right to institute government and to alter, reform, or totally change the same when their safety and happiness require it. The United States Supreme Court declares that the sovereignty remains with the people and resides with the people. Yickwo versus Hopkins. Even though it has been long recognized that the courts have not been operating as advertised, we have decided that we the people would not join in a witch hunt, but desire only to restore justice in our courts of justice, which is our constitutionally protected lawful right to do so. We also decided that we would diligently pursue this restoration with peaceful intentions, honor, and mercy, with our eyes on the future and not on the past. And therefore, we are extending to you one final chance to step aside and open a pathway for the Nassau County Common Law Grand Jury to take its rightful seat in order that they may operate in the courthouse under judicial auspices as Justice Anton Scalia instructed that they should in the United States versus Williams. We, the people of New York, are gracing you with 48 hours to comply. And if by 9 a.m. Wednesday morning, the Nassau County Common Law Grand Jury has not been given access to the grand jury room, we will sign and file the attached presentment. As for your argument concerning subsection 19010, it does not apply to common law, but only to your statutory courts acting under their corporate charter, which is in conflict with the Constitution. You should realize that the government, by becoming a corporator, C-28 U.S.C. subsection 3002, lays down its sovereignty and takes on that of a private citizen. It can exercise no power which is not derived from the corporate charter. See the Bank of the United States versus Planters Bank of Georgia. Whereas the grand jury, as clarified by Justice Anton Scalia, is an institution separate from the court, over whose functioning the courts do not preside. The court neither preserves nor enhances the traditional functioning of the grand jury that the common law of the Fifth Amendment demands. Because the grand jury is an institution separate from the courts over whose functioning the courts do not preside, we think it clear that as a general matter, at least, no such supervisory judicial authority exists. Justice Anton Scalia went on to say, rooted in long centuries of Anglo-American history, the grand jury is mentioned in the Bill of Rights, but not in the body of the Constitution. It has not been textually assigned, therefore, to any of the branches described in the first three articles. It is a constitutional fixture in its own rights. And there's quite a few court cases that are quoted here. In fact, the whole theory of the functioning is that it belongs to no branch of the institutional government, serving as a kind of a buffer or referee between the government and the people. And again, some more quotes of different court cases he referred back to. Although the grand jury normally operates, of course, in the courthouse and under judicial auspices, its institutional relationship with the judicial branch has traditionally been, so to speak, at arm's length. Judges' direct involvement in the functioning of a grand jury has generally been confined to the constitutive one of calling the grand jury together and administering their oaths of office. Again, he gave some more cases that he referred to on this these statements. The grand jury's functional independence from the judicial branch is evident both in the scope of its power to investigate criminal wrongdoing and in a matter in which that power is exercised. Unlike a court whose jurisdiction is predicated upon a specific case or a controversy, as a grand jury can investigate merely on suspicion that a law is being violated, or even because it just wants insurance that it is not. It need not identify the offenders, its suspect.
That's the sentence that makes them get a chill up their spine. Go ahead.
Yeah. It need not identify the offenders, its suspect, or even the precise nature of the offense it is investigating. He goes on, the grand jury requires no authorization from its constitutional courts to initiate an investigation, nor does the prosecutor require leave of the court to seek a grand jury indictment. And in its day-to-day functioning, the prosecutor can call the grand jury. And of course, that's appropriate. The state can call the grand jury anytime he wants, and we'll respond and look to see if their case has merit or not, and decide whether we'll indict or not. It's that simple. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. Nor does the prosecutor require leave of court to seek a grand jury indictment. And in its day-to-day functioning, the grand jury generally operates without the interference of the presiding judge. It swears in its own witnesses and deliberates in total secrecy. Then we go on to say, so you see, Donald F. Fetter, it is not we the people who have no standing, but their hired servants, and we the people command you to take heed. And then we gave them him the supremacy clause. I'm not going to, well, I'll read it. The Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuant thereof, and all treaties made of which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or the laws or the state, to the contrary, notwithstanding. And then, of course, we have Marbury versus Madison, which included thus the particular phraseology of the Constitution of the United States confirms the strengthening of the principles supposed to be essential to all written constitutions, that a law repugnant to the Constitution is void, and that courts, as well as other departments, are bound by that instrument. Miranda versus Arizona, where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation which would abrogate them. So again, that code is rendered useless. The uncodified common law is the superior law of the people, and the codified civil law is the special or inferior law of the government and its agency. In other words, it's applied to them, because the United States Constitution guarantees to each state a republican form of government, not a democracy. Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution, the law and the will of the people outrank the law of the government. Access to the common law is guaranteed and protected in the law by the U.S. Constitution. We the people await your answer and compliance to our lawful demand, and in the absence of one, we will remove mercy from the table and take the appropriate lawful action necessary to restore the sovereign and make whole the people of Nassau County. You may fax your answer to the above fax number. And now this letter was signed by 15 elected common law grand juries here in New York State. And like I said, it was sent out Saturday, and they should have received this on this morning. Let's see now. Here is the presentment. Again,
if you notice, our papers are a classroom. If the guy takes time to read the paper, he'll learn more than he knew, because all that stuff in there is teaching him, and it's teaching everybody else that reads these papers. And that's what we do. That's what our job is, to teach them.
All right, now here's a copy of the presentment. We attached it. It was unsigned, and we have signed copies sitting here ready to go, which we'll talk about that in a minute. The common law grand juries of Bronx County, Columbia County, Dutchess, Greene, Kings, Nassau, New York County, Orange, Putnam County, Queens, Rockland, Suffolk, Sullivan, and Westchester County of New York charges that on or about September 24, 2013, Donald F. Vetter, hereinafter the defendant, acting as chief clerk under the color of law, did obstruct justice by taking upon himself the people's role of tribunal after he was forewarned in writing by the Nassau County Grand Jury that he perform only ministerial functions, and that he did not take it upon himself to perform any tribunal functions, but instead he acted outside his role as servant. And superciliously, how do you pronounce that one, do you know? Well, we'll just keep going. Proclaimed that the people have no standing, and thereby boldly preventing the people of Nassau County their unalienable right, protected under the Fifth Amendment, to act in their most sacred role as consenter, thereby committing the following offenses. And then we listed all of the violations that he was violated, 18 U.S. Code, subsection 241, 242, 1851, 2071, obstruction of justice, U.S. Code 18, 1505, 1512B, 2076, 2071, obstruction of proceedings, misleading conduct, clerk is to file, concealment, removal, or mutilation generally. Section 487, New York Judicial Law, misconduct by an attorney by deceit. Section 195.00, New York Penal Code, official misconduct. New York Penal Code, obstructing government administration, New York Penal Code, fraud involving the security interests, New York Penal Code, unlawful prevention of public access to records, New York Penal Code, criminal impersonation, New York Penal Code, scheming to defraud, New York Penal Code, scheming to defraud. There's 260 and 65. New York Penal Code, making an apparently false sworn or written statement. That one may be an error. We may remove that one because even though he did make a written statement, it was not sworn to, so we're probably going to remove that one before we send it in. And then this will be sealed by, again, 15 common law grand juries elected in 15 different counties here in New York State. Now, again, you know, when you add all the time, if you go through all these laws and if he was to be found guilty on every single one of them, it's like 50 or 60 years in prison. We're not seeking anything like that. We're seeking just to get power. And the trial jury, if it goes to that point, will have to make the decision what needs to be done. We'll give them our thoughts, and then the trial will take place, and then they will be the deciders. It's outside of our hands. It's in the hands of those 12 individuals, whoever they may be. But I don't think it's going to go there. I certainly hope that this guy's wise enough to realize that we mean business. If he thinks that we went and did all this work and we've been electing grand juries in 17 counties at this point and going, counting, and continuing, and realizing that we came together, we all traveled down to Manhattan. We traveled from some of us pretty far to get down there on a weekday and do all this to not do anything. I mean, the guy really has to be on planet Zulu or something. So I think he's going to allow them to take control on Wednesday morning at approximately 9:30, maybe 10 a.m. in the morning. The Nassau County Common Law Grand Jury will go to that courtroom to get access. And if they do not get access, then they'll make a phone call, and we will file this in one of the counties. I'm not going to say which county we're going to file it in because they may be listening in, and I don't want to give them any thoughts or ideas. So we will file that on Wednesday morning, 11 o'clock or whatever time it takes for us to drive down to the particular courthouse that we're going to file it in, file it, and that'll be that. But again, I don't think it's going to go there. Now, we've had some other problems with two other counties, which we're not going to get into at the moment. It's letters and sort of similar. Well, one's pretty bold. I mean, one's really bold. I mean, but in any event, we're not going to talk about them, nor are we going to do anything with them until after Wednesday. It just seems wise to see what happens here, because what happens here is going to, one way or the other, I think, cause the other counties that are giving us problem to back down. If not, we're going to have to be doing a lot of presentments. We're just going to be doing a lot of writing. Okay, I think I covered this. Let's move on to the next subject. When we open up for conversations, people can ask questions about this, and we could discuss it further. And maybe someone from Suffolk County is here, and not Suffolk, Nassau, I mean, someone from Nassau County is here that can talk about it or give us some of their thoughts. I just want to go through. This is the oath or the sworn statement that every grand jurist will make. I don't remember whether we covered this last week. I know we've been back and forth. We might have just touched on it last week, and we might have made a little change. I just don't remember. So I'm just going to read it real quick. It's written like, and everybody who's going to sit on any jury, this is what they're going to sign, and this is the rules ultimately. It says, I, in the name of the person, the affiant, being of lawful age, qualified, and competent, take the following oath as jurist. I vow to the governor of the universe in my capacity as jurist to ensure that all public servants uphold the United States Constitution and Bill of Prohibitions or rights, and to carry out all of my deliberation under natural law, principled under justice, mercy, justice, honor, and mercy, and to strictly adhere to the following two legal maxims. Number one, every right, when withheld, must have a remedy, and every injury its proper redress. So for every injury an individual gets injured, they must be reinstated. So that's the job of the grand jury, and if they can't solve it, they send it to the trial jury, and they will decide. In the absence of a victim, there can be no crime, corpus delicti, and of course the state cannot be the victim. So those are the two main principles, looking to reinstate, to reestablish, to bring back to whole as best that we can the injured individual. And, of course, if there is no crime, if there is no injured party, then the individual committed no crime, period. There's nothing to talk about. I think there could be some cases, and we spoke about this before, someone drunk driving or something like that. We're going to have to decide how to deal with some problem like that. Obviously, it's not necessarily a crime, but it is a problem, and it could become a crime because they could kill somebody driving under the influence or something of that nature, someone that is really reckless and puts society in danger. And I think every county is going to have to deal with that problem to some degree and being very careful not to trample upon anybody's unalienable rights. But it does seem appropriate to stop that individual from potentially injuring another person. So whatever has to be done, of course, jail is not the answer, but maybe a program of some kind or some kind of a restriction or something, to do something. But, again, that's a problem, and we'll have to deal with it. All right, anyway, the notary signs this. Is suggest, and we'll look into this because I know we could do this online. I think everyone who becomes an administrator of the grand jury, that's four people per county, which again is a paid position. They'll be doing all of the administrative work, which is a lot of work to be done. So it's like a 40-hour job. Most of the work will probably be done in your own home or for your computer and maybe conferences over Skype and telephones and dealing with people calling in with problems and doing paperwork and filing and, administrative work. And then when the jury is pulled together, then we have to go through orientating them, having them to take the oaths and preparing them for whatever job they're going to be servicing for the people, whether it be a grand jury or a trial jury. Also investigations. If someone calls in with a problem and we need to go out and investigate, I think a lot of problems when people call in that we can get onto the phones and fix a lot of problems right over the phones, calling those government office, identifying ourselves and who we are, and then following up with a letter on what what we decided to be done and when we want them to respond back. We'll want them to respond with a letter that they have complied and we better not hear about the problem the second time from that office, then they need to fix it. So, again, this is the job of the administrators of the common law grand jury. So, again, it's a full-time job. We will be filing for budgets. The moment we get access into the courts and get a seat in the court, we'll immediately go through that process, and we'll be teaching that as we go along here in New York. It should be pretty much the same thing in every state. The comptroller ultimately usually the individual handles the budgets. In fact, it is the person that handles the budgets. And it's a matter of filing with them. We'll discuss that at a later date, but it is coming soon. So it's a full-time job for four people, every county. And those four individuals, generally speaking, will be sitting on the grand jury almost all the time. One of those individuals will probably be the foreman of that grand jury, but from time to time, as we're bringing people in, we'll find other people that are very capable of being a foreman. So we definitely will, as often as possible, try to pass that authority off to another individual that is coming in off the pool. So we want to kind of share that position so we don't get any feedback or blowback from anybody within the judicial system. Let's go on to the next thing that we may have here. We did discuss the press release, generally speaking. I want to go back to the press release because we did put something here, and this is extremely important. There is no personality here. There may be people who speak a little more than others and so on, but But there is no personality. When the press comes and they want to know who, what, where, when, and how, well, it's got to be the people. If we focus and point our fingers towards a website, or we point our fingers towards a particular individuals, we're now opening up something for assault and attack. We don't want to get the news assaulting and attacking. We want the news to look at the story, to look at the facts, to look at what it is that the people's doing. And this is the people, so we can't focus in on an individual. So therefore, we shouldn't be telling the press to go to a website. We just give them the information on a paper, okay? And the people who are there, you know, you respond to the press. If you don't know what to say or you don't want to say anything, fine. You don't have to say anything. Just say, hey, look, you know, I don't think it's appropriate for me to comment much, but here is a pre-typed out press release of information. And if you want to get more information, see the guy whose name on the bottom of that paper. And his name is Justice Antonio Scalia. So let's send the press to Antonio Scalia and let him deal with it, because I think he'd be the best guy for it. And I know they're not going to attack him. And he's got, of course, the highest authority as far as the judicial process is concerned, second only to the consentors. So this is not about a person or a website. Keep it focused on the people. Don't give the names of people, otherwise individuals and or other website or and or our website will be attacked. Since our adversary cannot answer the message, they usually destroy the messenger. If we are all giving the same message and point to the people at large as the authority, they have nobody to character assassinate. Remember, it's the people. It gets back to the people, the people, the people. You know, all we're doing is we're taking control of the administrative part of the process, because obviously the courts can't handle it. They're out of control. There's all kinds of criminality going on there, and they're not policing themselves, and obviously they're not going to go and indict themselves. Well, we the people, just by our presence, will prevent that. We're not on a witch hunt. We're not going after past things. If we did, they'd all be in jail. But we're not doing that. We're just interested in what happens from this point forward. And whatever stories people bring in, we will deal with that and make them whole to the best of our abilities. People at large as the authority, they have nobody to character assassinate. After giving to the press the aforementioned statements, if you want, to give them the following written press release. Or if you see a negative press, you can counteract it with the press release below. Just insert your county, state, and courthouse address, no name, no phone number. So here it is. Here's the press release. You would put your county name and your state. In my case, it would be Dutchess County, New York, grand jury. Okay? And you would put then the courthouse address. Okay, mine is, I think it's 10 Market Street, Poughkeepsie, New York, 12601, I think, whatever it is. And that's the address you put there. We went back and forth on putting address on. We need to put the address on. That's where the grand jury is supposed to be sitting. That's where the address to the grand jury is. Now, the next thing is on this, we would put down on, in the case of Dutchess County, it was July 18, 2013, the people of Dutchess County in New York came together to constitute a common law grand jury by electing to reestablish the people's grand jury here in Dutchess County, New York, by the following authorities. And then we give the authorities and some information. And again, it's all Scalia quotes directly out of his paper. And take note, we have no name and no phone number on here. Names should never be out there. Even though we're administrators, we also are jurists also from time to time, of course. So we don't want to really give names. This is not about individuals. It's about the people and the people's business and the people who are representing the people as the consentors. And, of course, we will be calling the people at large when we need to fill these positions, because it is the people who are to sit on the grand jury, is the people who are to sit on the trial juries. So that's pretty much that. So I think with that, we'll open up for conversations. I think, let me take a look to see
John,
if we have anybody here from Virginia.
John, yeah. John, let me just go through some of the stuff that's in the text chat here that, you know, I want to get out of the way real quick. Just make a note. Robert Dale says we misspell corpus delecti.
Pretty sure I cut and paste that, but I'll double check it.
All right. Let me make a note. You get that too, because people spell things differently. Also, Veronica says Pierce County, Washington is having an election tomorrow. Sent an email to John last week, but has not shown up on Meetup. Can it be posted ASAP? Actually, okay. She could post that on Meetup herself, couldn't she?
No. We haven't given out authorities yet. We will eventually give out authorities to one for each state. The state coordinators will get those authorities to be able to do a lot of things with these websites as soon as we organize them a little better. I'm going to have to blame someone else on this. Someone else is supposed to be taking care of that, but it could be that you sent it directly to me and not to the email. And I might have just ignored it because I figured Carl's going to take care of it. And I guess Carl didn't know. If you sent it directly to me, John, at nationallibertyalliance.org, then, yeah, I ignored it because I figured it was just being copied me from Carl. It should have gone to support at, because I can't handle all that anymore, support at nationallibertyalliance.org, and that would have went to Carl, and Carl has been pretty much up on things. Except he's been tardy this evening, so we'll get on his case for that.
But no, Carl, and I go through them too. I also go through them, and I didn't see it either. Although I was like 3 days not in my 3 or 4 days not in my email last week because we were just so busy, you know.
If you can resend that information, send it to support at nationallibertyalliance.org. Send it immediately. I'm sure Carl will try to get that on tonight. I see Carl is here. Maybe Carl might want to comment on that. Carl, you're open.
Hello?
Yes, yes. Hello. Hello.
Yes, comment on what exactly?
Someone hasn't been paying attention.
Go ahead, I'll show.
Yeah, who was it that sent this? Someone from what county, what state? Who?
It's Washington. Hang on, let me go back down. I'm sorry. Where did I get that? I got so much in here, it's hard to... Pierce County, Washington, Veronica Port.
Okay.
She sent an email to John last week, but it's not shown up on the meetup. They're having an election tomorrow, it says. Sent an email to John last week, but it has not shown up on meetup. Can it be posted ASAP?
Yeah, Carl, can you take care of that as soon as you get it? It should come to you this evening. They will send it out right away. Just keep an eye on your email. And get that posted, okay?
It came to support?
No, it probably came to me.
Right, it probably did.
And I presumed you got it too, so I didn't do anything with it.
Yeah, just forward me and, you know, I'll take care of it.
Right.
Well, let her resend it.
Oh, you have to because I don't have it no more. I would have deleted it. I delete my mail as soon as I read it. I go move on. So, all right, so we'll take care of that. Just resend it back out to call. Support at nationallibertyalliance.org. Next.
And we got a fellow, Arthur says, please explain when the Fifth Amendment grand jury was last acknowledged by a state or by. Well, they are acknowledged all the time, and the one big one that we always harp on is the Trayvon Martin case. That was a common law grand jury. It was a people's grand jury that indicted that prosecutor. So we know it works. Listen, we wouldn't
Michigan's
be doing this.
Michigan's got about 14 of them.
Right.
And they've been operating for a while now, and they are common law grand juries. They may call themselves people. I know and that's just the same thing. I know the one in Florida calls himself citizens grand jury, and I can live with that. I know the courts like that kind of a word maybe better, but in any event, it is what it is.
Go ahead. Go to the. You know, that's it. That's about
all
I need.
Okay. Before we move on to people, I want to speak with. I want to open up the line to Virginia, because Virginia, that's you from down there in Long Island, Nassau, correct?
Hi, John. Hi, John.
How you doing?
How
you doing?
You?
Good. Good. Did you want to say something?
Well, we're all looking forward to Wednesday when we go down to the court. There will be five of us going down. There'll be three women, and we asked two of the men to come with us.
Okay.
So we're set to go, and, you know, we've all been doing a lot of reading. So
if you send me something in writing what you'd want to see us to write, we'll post it on the meetup group, and we'll invite others who might want to just come down from any county to work with you, is where they would show and what time to be there, and we'll do that. Okay.
Oh, okay. Let me see. I could probably give it to you right now.
Send it in an email. Send it to support. Carl will post it. Support, and he'll call me if he wants to play around with the verbiage a little bit, but support at nationallibertyalliance.org.
Okay.
Okay? What else do you want to tell us or make a statement or whatever? Anything else?
No, I think it's very, very exciting. I think that, if we can get our foot in the door, that will be great.
Uh-huh.
I'm feeling positive about it. But if not, we'll just keep trucking along, and one of us will be getting our foot in the door somewhere. So,
right. Well, we're going to indict, believe me, and then we'll indict the next one. Once we remove that person out of our way, we'll see if the judge has the guts to step up to the plate, because we know the judge is behind it. So
right.
We'll see what happens there. But I'm sure no real elected judge is going to step up. They'll send some administrative judge, or they'll send some clerk and throw them to the wolves because they're cowards.
Right.
So.
Okay, so we'll let you know, and I'm sure I'll be calling you as soon as we walk out that door.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear one way or the other as soon as possible.
Yeah,
we're waiting with bated breath here.
Yes, I know. So we'll call you the minute we look at that court. No one's around.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
So, appreciate it.
And I send it to support, John. Support at Liberty Alliance. Is that
support
it?
Support at libertyalliance.org. Okay.
Okay. It's not national. It's not support at National Liberty.
Well, shame on me. National Liberty.
Okay.
You're
all
right.
Great.
I'm sorry. I don't know how I did that one. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I see Hagen's been up for 41 minutes. I don't want to miss him. I missed him last week. Hagen, go right ahead. You got the mic.
Yeah, how you doing, John?
Good, and yourself?
Pretty good. Listen, I'm listening to what Yens are doing with William Taylor Ryle. And I did serve with William Taylor Ryle in the 2009 constitutional deal up there. Continental Congress, yes. And he is a very controversial person. He's very smart, very intellectually smart, and he has a very negative way about himself in approaching things. What I have said to Claudia and some of the others there in Pennsylvania, whenever he shows up at these meetings, and you guys mentioned it before, you nailed it, you can't really bar him from the meeting because it's a public meeting. But if he becomes disruptive, then you can. You have a time and a place for your comment period, and as long as he's not being disruptive and challenging people, he has the right to speak his mind. However, I would limit it as much as I could because you know what he's going to do.
Right.
But if he insists on disrupting, if he comes in and starts disrupting, stop the meeting, ask him to leave, and if he refuses, call the police and have him removed and charged with breach of the peace, because that's what they do to us. If we disrupt a public meeting, and the same thing can be done to him. I believe that he is self-serving, is the reason why he's doing this. And he's also, I hate talking in a negative way about anyone.
I understand, yeah.
But with William Taylor Ryle, you just have to deal with him accordingly, and I've had two occasions where I had to do that. But as far as Sheriff Mack's concerned, I think the world of Sheriff Mack.
Right. I don't know that we want to get into that. Do we want to get into that? Because we don't want to broadcast.
But he's making comments to him, and whatever comments get out there.
Oh, that's okay. Let them do whatever they want. You know, anybody that's doing good things and the right things, you're going to get good things, you're going to get bad things said about the person. And there's many reasons for people saying different things. But we don't want to echo those things. I don't think it's wise. If it does come out into the press or something of that nature, then we might want to comment on it. But why broadcast the negative?
That's true. Now, with the clerk of court that's giving you the problem there in New York, why not indict him in federal court, because it's a federal crime that he's committing?
Oh, no, it doesn't matter anyway. No, it's a state crime ultimately, because it's a state business. The state is sovereign. We're the county grand jurist, and actually state grand jurist, but in a particular county.
We're
we're using federal codes on him.
We definitely are. We're using both New York and federal, yes, because we can.
But you can do that, right?
Yeah, believe me, it's much more friendly and much more controlling at this point in a state court than it is in a federal court, because trust me, we will be sitting in this court case if we had to go this route, and we will be watching for violations from the judge or anyone else. Going to a federal court, you know, there's jurisdictional situations that you don't even know what jurisdiction you're getting into. And we're not going to have as much control over the federal judge in the beginning as we would with the state judge in the beginning. So, but as time goes on, we will have control over those federal judges. We first have to bind down the strong man in our own house. Every county has to bind down their strong man, which is the judge, and we bind them down with the chains of the Constitution. Once we accomplish that, now we can accomplish the binding down of the federal judges with the Constitution. So,
and I think you're right. I don't think you're going to see an elected judge come against this. The reason they're pushing out these clerks and these administrative judges is because they know that they're not elected. You know what I mean?
Right.
The judges are smarter than that, and I don't think they dare come up against it.
Right.
I mean, that's my feeling. We'll see if it bears out.
Yeah, and they're hoping we don't know what to do. That's what they're hoping. Well, they just found out we do know what to do.
Yeah,
now, let's see what happens if they're going to be able to convince this person to be brave enough to say, well, they're not going to really file it. Don't worry about it. Well, let's see if this person really feels that way.
I think this will go a long ways in gaining the confidence of the people who have been scared off by tactics by other people.
Well, we've dealt with the FBI. I don't know whether we covered the second part with the FBI. That may have happened at a later date. But the FBI came in, as we know. We spoke about that last time. I don't know whether our conversation with the FBI was realized in here in this with the group, with everybody openly. But we did kind of turn it around with the FBI. We set the whole mode that we were investigating them. We took control of the initiative of contacting them before they contacted us. They were kind of flabbergasted. They didn't know how to respond. They sounded a little, I think, nervous or, you know, just didn't know what to do. Then they tried to take control of the conversation. That didn't work, and we took it back, and we let them know. We're in the middle of an investigation right now, and we've got to get a couple of jurists on this phone right now because I shouldn't be talking to you alone. And this is being recorded, so on and so forth. And then we got control back of the conversation that way. And then they said, well, look, there really is no investigation. I said, what do you mean? Well, we're not going to investigate. We didn't find anything there. Well, I said, well, that's a good thing. Then I guess there's no need for us to have an investigation either. And he says, yeah, you're right. I said, well, okay. And we talked and chatted for a while, and it was pretty nice. And, Gerard, I don't know, can you comment on this a little bit? Because you heard the conversation.
Yeah, well, once we spoke with some authority and he saw we weren't intimidated, he immediately backpedaled and said, well, I work across the hall, and I was just doing him a favor, and because he asked me about it, and I came over. You see, we called the office because the two other people that showed up with him left numbers, and then those numbers were to the front switchboard in the New York office.
FBI.
And the New York FBI office down in New York City. You know, and the guy from the court, his contact information is the FBI switchboard, which is weird. I mean, that shouldn't be. Why is he filtering his calls through the FBI? So when we couldn't get this guy directly on the phone, we called the FBI office, and the receptionist there, I don't know if she's an agent or just a receptionist, we started questioning her, do you know this guy, do you know that guy? And she's saying, no, those guys' names aren't coming up. Of course, she knew the one guy that gave us the good contact information. And so then we said, well, we need to speak to him or his supervisor. And she kind of said, oh, okay, like she was annoyed that we were chasing him down and we were acting like the cops. That's the thing I think that bothers them, you know. And so then she put us to his cell phone that he never answers. But you see, what I think is he did go down on a whim. I don't think he had an investigation because I think that it was too soon. I think before the FBI would ever get involved in something like that, he'd have to call his superior, show him the thing, you know what I mean? So he might have gotten a little bit of a trouble for going in there with that guy. And who knows what they were trying to pull. But ultimately, he schmoozed it over and he got very friendly. And he ended up, you know, we said, well, you know, out of all the ABCs, we thought the FBI had the most respect, you know, for doing stuff for the people legally, you know, and he, oh, yeah, we're constitutional. He got right on it, you know. And he ended up saying, well, if you find any corruption that you can't handle, you know, and that you need help with, call me. You know, so he wants to be our bud now. So
the FBI is not going to be a problem because obviously they see. You know, first of all, and if Harold's here, he'll correct me if I misunderstood this, but when they had this paperwork, or these other two clowns gave the paperwork to this guy, this one FBI agent who we knew was an FBI agent, they didn't give him all the paperwork. They missed some of the papers, and of course it was all of the important stuff of what Scalia had said. So I think Harold had given him a copy of that stuff, and that probably kind of changed his thinking on a lot of stuff, saying, wait a second here, you know, this is the Supreme Court saying these people can do this, you know. What am I getting mixed up in here? We're presumptuous that's how it may have went in this guy's mind. So,
Have you talked to any of the people in Polk County, Florida, about what's going on down there?
No.
I'd like to talk to you about that tomorrow, if it's okay.
Give me a call. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Florida's in a contest with New York to see who could be most corrupt. From what I read tonight on the, because they, you know, Cuomo was told that they closed down all the judicial oversight in New York State. They're more corrupt than the judges that they're supposed to be oversighting. And it's a bad situation because that leaves a vacuum. There's nobody to complain to now about a judge. Not that it did any good before, but, you know, they didn't, you know, at least they were up there and they didn't know how it was going to go, maybe, you know. So now they just got rid of them all.
Yeah, we were going to sue them too, remember?
Yeah, we put a couple of complaints into them because they abused us in court and broke the laws. I mean, they don't even write back to you, my goodness. But anyway, you know, it kind of, I think it more empowers these judges to know that there's no judicial oversight. Now they feel like they got free rein. You know, if the federal government feels the need to step into a state matter and ask the governor to remove this particular panel, the governor or the federal government or somebody should at least have a desk there to field complaints. You don't even put a freaking phone number there, you know what I mean? It's like, so now the people, where do you turn? It's a bad situation. I don't want to get on a whole other conversation, but New York has major, major problems. There's another thing I don't want to forget. I'm going to back up now. I'm sorry. But this William Tyler Reed, what I was going to say is, when you have your meeting and at the end, and that you talk in the beginning a little bit and then you do the films and then you go to the election, he wants to jump in before the election and start stuff. You say no, the time for comment will be afterwards, because what he does is he intimidates people before the election. And I would say if you're not going to sit down and be quiet so we can do this election, well, no, I want to talk about it first. We talked about it. There's the film. Let people make their own mind up. Why do you want to babysit?
No, don't even ask them any questions. Just move on.
Well, the thing is you need to get that election in, because his ploy is to jump in there before you have the election and scare. He scared a whole room of people to never even vote, and that's a tragedy that he would do such a thing. You know, that he believes that he needs to turn those people away, giving them misinformation. I would cut him off right after the movie. If he starts to talk, you say that's not part of this agenda. We're running this meeting, not you. Please take your seat, or we'll have to remove you. Just very nice like that. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, Hagen?
Anyway, I'm done there.
No, that's it.
Okay. Thanks. Who's next, Gerard? And before we move to the next person, just want to make a note here. Look at we have a. Let me open this up on my desktop here. We have county organizers. We need state organizers. And so state organizers are found by clicking a button underneath the county organizers. And we'll start getting some recordings of how many counties have elected how many counties have elected grand juries. For instance, in Arizona, has 15 counties total. They have elected 7 counties. They're almost halfway through their state, okay? So we need people reporting on this. I know Pennsylvania has got quite a few. Where is Pennsylvania? Did we record some for Pennsylvania? Let's see, RNOP. Okay, Pennsylvania's got 8 counties elected. New York has 17 counties elected. And we have others that need to report. And it's up. Part of the job of the state coordinator or leader or whatever you want to call them, organizer, coordinator, I guess we'll call them a coordinator. The state coordinator needs to keep count of the counties that are elected or on the books to be elected and get that information to us so that we can put it up here. By posting this information, it'll start to build some excitement and maybe even get kind of a race going. We don't have much time, and I know I say this all the time, and maybe people, maybe putting people further to sleep on this, but I want to tell you, we don't have more time. We've got to get this thing going, especially now that we're doing what we're doing in New York. New York has got to move quicker, and we're going to be talking about that to some of the leaders that are working on moving New York quicker here in New York, but every state's got to move quicker. We got to get organizers in every state, so people, please step up. If you see a vacancy here and you can fill this bill, step up and take the control. It's that particular organizer's responsibility is to make sure they seek out and find one leader in every county to start to spearhead this movement and to help push them along. When they stick their toe in the water, push them in the water. Don't let them see you come. Just push them in the water. Get it going. Get that election going. Even if they don't want to file right away, that's fine. Just get the election going. You only need three witnesses, so that person and two, yourself and another person, whatever. Let's get three witnesses out there, invite as many people as can, and let's get it going. We don't have time. We have to get this done. We really do. We're 10 seconds to midnight. We got to get this accomplished. So let's step up and let's do what has to be done. We're working on a new site, and hopefully next week we'll have some more information on this site, but it's going to be very sophisticated, or a lot more sophisticated than what we have. And it's like I said before, it's going to combine the meetup group site and this site together, so we only have one site, and we'll have the mail to be able to run through this. We'll have a lot of interesting things going on. Again, maybe next week or the week after, we'll talk a little bit about this, and we'll get into the details of what we have planned for this site. But every state will have an administrator, or the state organizer or the orchestrator of the state, that individual who is the state leader, that one person for every state, they will have administrative control on this site. And so we'll have 50 people who have administrative control. And, we're going to have chat rooms and different things going on. We'll have a national chat room, and we'll develop a chat room for every state maybe. We'll talk about that in the future. But it's very exciting, and it's going to be a lot more sophisticated. The information is going to be easy to find. We'll have search engines on this, and it'll really be something that can serve us so that we can have at our fingertips all of the information necessary concerning the job we're performing, which is focusing in on the common law as grand jurists. All right, with that, let's move on. Who's next, Gerard?
Christopher.
Oh, from Dutchess County. How you doing, Chris? Good to see you.
Cirillo.
Chris. Go right ahead. Yes, yeah, Serrero. Chris from Dutchess County, you there?
He's got to get back from the kitchen. He's getting a drink. No, I don't.
Open a little bit to see what happens.
Yeah, he's been up for a while, yeah.
Carl, your mic is still open if you want to pipe in or anything, but who's next?
Somebody just put their hand down. Johnny.
Johnny B.
Michael. Yeah, Johnny B. Michael, all right.
Johnny B. Michael, go right ahead.
I heard somebody say something in the background there.
Speak up. Johnny B. Michael or Chris, either one. Dutchess County, Chris. Johnny B. Michael.
Hang on.
Okay.
They're coming. I hear them. Somebody's coming.
Chris, are you there?
I hear Johnny's mic. I don't hear right. Chris is here.
Well, let's open someone else up while we're waiting. Who else is here?
You got You got Daryl is up.
Is he next?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Daryl, go right ahead.
Having another challenge, when you go to the election process and on 06, the plan where you download the zip file.
Yeah.
Every time I click on it, it does the download, but then I cannot open it because it says it's archived. Any idea?
Archive.
Yeah, that has something to do with your computer because I don't get that. Does anybody else have that problem or know how to solve that? Any computer people in here?
It's archived. Archived. That's weird.
Don't know.
Are you right clicking it or left clicking it to download?
Left click.
Okay, so you're left clicking.
Try right clicking it then.
Yeah, do a save as and tell it where to go and see what happens with that.
Try that.
I did. What it does, it will save it, but then when I click on it to try and open it up, it says it cannot unzip it because it's archived.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. And you have a zip program in there, right?
Again, please?
You have a zip program, right?
Yes, I do. I have 7-zip.
So
yeah, that's right.
So if you click the other way, does it download still? If you don't tell it to save it as, does it go into its own file?
You might be able to click on open and just open it right up and see how that goes. Right-click it.
Well, when I do that, it gives me the same options to open or save, and I do a save and open on it, and after doing so, I get the error message from 7-Zip that says it cannot open the file. It gives a full path, and then says, as archived.
Huh.
All right.
What browser are you using? I mean,
I'm using Internet.
Keep an eye on the chat. See if anybody's telling us that they know how to deal with this problem, Gerard.
Yeah, I would try a different browser, though. I've had some problems with different browsers when downloading.
Yeah, what browser are you using?
He's using Internet Explorer, I think.
Oh, try Firefox or something like that. That could be the problem.
It could be, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
So try that. Do you use others? Do you use other browsers or no, normally? Do you normally use other browsers or never?
I normally use just IE.
Okay.
Michael Formoso says I'm having the same problem.
Ricky, did you have an answer to this? Look at Ricky. Did he put a – let me just open Ricky up.
I thought I did.
Ricky, did you have an answer to this?
No, I thought I did. If you click on 7-Zip, you should have a choice extract here or extract to the folder that's the name of the zip file. And if you click on the one that says extract to the folder that's the name of the zip file, you'll get a new folder that will be uncompressed. A zip file is a compressed file. It is an archive file.
Okay.
John, make sure that you can, if you recently zipped it, make sure that you can unzip it. You know, maybe they're having problems with your file. Maybe it's corrupt.
Okay.
Other than that, it's whoever's downloading. I've downloaded at times and it's gotten corrupt along the way. So I would just try downloading again. And then right mouse click, and you have options if you have the PK unzip installed to extract where you are or extract. You know,
am I still online?
Yeah, you are. I'm going to try to open it right now. Here it is, the download zip. If I right click.
No, not that one, the one that says 06, right beneath that one.
Okay, down here. All right, let me right click, see what it open. Bookmark, save link as, copy, download to help it. Let me just go to the right click and see what happens.
Okay.
Why is that sticking on me? And there it goes. Okay, right click. Okay, open with. Okay, go. Now you can see it's down here downloading. So let's let that go for a few minutes. Anybody else have anything to talk about while we're waiting for that to download?
Listen, Hagen wants you to put his number down as the Florida contact, his phone number. He left it in the text chat. Just remind me. I'll give it to you.
Okay.
I think it's better to save the file and then unzip it. Otherwise, you're trying to open it as you're downloading.
Right.
I saved it before I tried to unzip it.
Yeah, that's a better practice. And then you just it just might have gotten corrupted, and you might have to try again.
Well, I've been trying all day. I
okay, there it is. It's done on folder. Cannot open file. It does not appear to be a valid archive. If you download this file, try downloading the file again. Okay. All right. I will reset it up there. It's probably bad on my side. I'll take care of that tonight. It's all Carl's fault.
It's John's fault. It's John's fault.
Okay.
We like to catch something that's John's fault. Why is that?
I don't know. What do I know? All right, I will try to fix that tonight or tomorrow morning, okay? So tomorrow sometime in the afternoon, try to get it. I'll see if I can get to it tonight.
That's why these calls are important, so we catch problems like that, and we fix them.
There you go. Fixer. Okay, who's next? Let me, Ricky, you're open. You might as well go. What did you have for us? Any questions or comments or just helping us with the problem?
Well, it was initially just for that, but I do want to say that I do have a room for my election now, and I have the notices in the paper, so the election will be October 16th.
Okay, what county?
Walton County in Florida.
Okay. Can you send me an email with the date, the time, the address, so the date, the time, the location, the county and the state, your name and your phone number. So it's seven pieces of information. Date, time, location, county, state, your name and phone number. And send that to support@nationallibertyalliance.org, and Carl will upload that and get it out on the meetup page.
You mean?
Well, he'll put it up on the meetup
before the election, not.
Send it out now, and we'll get it up there, so some people will see this from our page, our meetup group, and may come if they're local.
Okay.
You're set for what? October what?
October 16th. It's a Wednesday.
Right.
It happens to be the same night that Amateur Radio Club net is called, so I'll miss that.
Okay.
Date, time.
Date, time, location.
Okay.
Right up to the zip code. State, county, first name and phone number, contact name, contact number. Okay?
Okay. You know, my primary phone is a voice over internet phone, so when the internet's down, like it was for about 6 hours today, that phone won't work. But I also have a cell phone, and I'll include that number.
All right. Whatever you want to put up is fine. So.
Okay. So I'll get that to you pretty quick.
Okay. And by the way,
after we're finished here.
All right. Anything else, Rick?
Yeah, your desktop on my machine drives me nuts.
My what?
Seeing your desktop on my computer.
Oh, yeah, you try to do things.
Nuts.
You try to do things on my desktop, I know.
You'll discuss several things, but I'll get ahead of you, so I'll reach up from the scroll bar and try to scroll down, and it won't go.
Yeah.
Well, just a little bit of levity there.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done.
All right,
John, Chris says his mic is working now
in a minute. There was something I wanted to bring up here.
Go ahead.
Drupal. If there's anybody here or anybody that knows anybody that's one of us that knows Drupal, okay, and it's any experience with the program Drupal, please give me a call if you want to volunteer some of your time. We have two people. One person doesn't have too much time to put in, and hopefully another person is going to have a little more time, but we can use some help on trying to get things going on our website. So anybody with experience on Drupal, give me a call. My phone number, as you know, is out there on the web. Okay, next person. Who's next?
John, could I ask one more question first?
Sure. Who's this? Who's talking?
Daryl.
Oh, Daryl. Go ahead, Daryl.
One thing that I'm running into a small challenge. Now, I'm in Jefferson City, Missouri, and I tried to set up everything at the local library, and the libraries we have here in Jefferson City are kind of stingy. Apparently, they will not allow you to allow us to use any of their audio or visual equipment. We have to bring in our own.
Yeah, you know what? These people are out of control. This is a public building. I don't know whether there are private organizations that is being funded by the state. Well, we know the state's funding it, so we're paying the bill for this. And but some organization has decided not to serve the people. They will serve organizations, corporations, trusts, government agencies, but they refuse to serve the people. And I'll tell you what, once we get in, I think we have some revamping to do in the library system. At least we do have here in New York, because these people are just, they're as far, much out of control we're finding here in New York as the town halls and, you know, people running the town halls. Same problem, man, I tell you. But, yeah, you go try another library or something if you don't have a projector and a screen.
Well, so far I've tried four of them here in the city. It looks like I'm going to have to go outside our city to find something outside the county seat.
Yeah, go outside. Don't worry about it. Look, we're doing what we can. We'll do the best we can. We'll be as honorable as we can. If these people try to make it hard for us, it is what it is. We're just going to do it one way or the other, even if it is in the back room of a bar. And we've been there already. So.
In a situation like that, what do you do? Just show it on a laptop?
Well, you want to get a look for someone in the group or talk with other leaders that maybe, you know, I travel. I've got two of them, and Gerard's got one. I got one. And so, you know, we'll go wherever we got to go to help someone else do whatever they have to do. And if they don't have a projector, I'll bring mine and we'll come out and do it. I carry with me, even though that we may have one at the library or place we're going, I still carry with me just in case as a backup. But talk to some, what state are you in again?
Jefferson City, Missouri.
Missouri. How many people, do you have any other leaders in Missouri?
You got one leader and got, I think, six or seven counties.
Okay, well, talk to those.
Started.
Yeah, talk to those people and ask them if they can help you out. And look, do you belong to a Liberty group or no?
Yes, I do.
Talk to the people in your Liberty group. See if someone in there has one to loan you or come out and do it for you. But also try other libraries.
Right. That was going to be my next move is try one maybe outside of the city and outside of the county and see where I go there.
Right.
Okay. You can go ahead and drop my hand.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Who's next? Christopher. Okay, Chris, go ahead. Your mic's open.
You can hear me now?
No, we can't hear you. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Hi. It's so good to be heard. I had a question getting back to the situation in Nassau County. If the clerk there does not acquiesce and doesn't perform his ministerial duty, and this presentment is indeed filed in another county,
right?
What authority or what influence can a public prosecutor or anybody in another county have on Nassau County?
Because it's a state issue. The New York Supreme Court is a state Supreme Court. It's not a county court. It's a state Supreme Court. And us as jurists, we're not county jurists. We're of the state of New York. Now, we have a location. You know, there is a presence of the New York State Common Law Grand Jury in Dutchess County, Orange County, Ulster County, and so on. Same thing in any other state. So we can indict from any place we want. And obviously, we wouldn't want to indict in the place where this person would have to take their own indictment to begin with and where we're having a problem. So we have to move it to a different county. Not a problem. The court system could decide to have the court case run in a, another county, maybe closer to them. We probably wouldn't object to that, but we probably, in this case, would require a special prosecutor. We'd get a private attorney general for this one. We wouldn't allow the prosecutor of the state, you know, of New York State or of that county to prosecute. We'd want someone to make sure that we're done right.
So it is a state, the state court system that this, that these are being filed in. It's not
absolutely
the court.
No, not the county courts. No,
right. I understand. Yeah. Okay.
So John has taken to calling us the unified grand jury system.
if you look at the top of that.
You know, you got the unified court system, and he always says, "Well, you know, the Supreme Court has, and there's one Supreme Court that has 62 locations in New York, so the grand jury is the same thing, I guess."
It is, yes.
Yeah.
Our boundary is the state line.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Anything else?
No, he's done.
Okay,
no, that's good. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Chris. Okay, who's next? Arthur Skypes up there? Was that Skypes or no Stopes? Who's next? Let's see. He's on for 34 seconds.
You got Johnny,
2 minutes.
Did we get Johnny B. Michael? He was done. Should I put
him in? Oh, no, no, no. We never got him on the line. Let's try him. Johnny B. Michael, are you there? Johnny, be good.
And the next one is Tracy and Sean have been up for like 20
Marilyn's
minutes.
Been there. Oh, 16 minutes for Marilyn. Who else?
Tracy and Sean is 20 minutes.
Okay, so let's go to Tracy next. Tracy and Sean, go right ahead. Tracy
and Dawn.
Sean.
Or Sean.
Sorry, can you hear me?
We can hear you now. Sounds like a commercial.
Sorry about that. I didn't realize my mic came unplugged. A little bit of a statement first, and then I guess a question. I'm so inspired by this movement, and you know, doing whatever it takes on our end and in it for the long haul. I feel convicted to bring up a thought and something for you guys to, you know, process and think about. I feel like there should be a sort of proactive plan, possibly, that should be in process or starting to be in process in regards to public perception. Because I think it's better for us to be in charge of that rather than people put their perceptions on us. I know recently there was a little article, I think in the Rockland County, when that whole little drama went down, and it wasn't accurate. And I feel like, you know, many, many movements have PR aspects of it, and I feel that we should have one as well. I don't know how that will take place, or I'm doing a little bit of research on my end, but even if we started out small just by doing little PR efforts to educate, you know, out of making friends with journalists and dropping little bits of information to educate them, because even this indictment in Long Island is huge. And if it does get to the press, I feel that we should have a proactive response. Yes. Where
I don't think it'll get to the press, though. But I hear what you're saying. I agree with you.
But it should, and it should be in such a way that the people read it and get fired up about it.
Right, but bear in mind, it would be unethical for the grand jury to call the press to tell them about this. So we can't do that. And again, we're just to be silent and just be people. We will get the word out that a grand jury exists in our county. We're going to go on an educational program. We're going to talk about that a little later. But first we have to gain the powers. And we're definitely going to bring the control of the schools back to the local community. The grand jury has the authority and the power to do that. And we'll talk about how we would do that another time. We just can't talk about it now. There's too many other pressing things. But what you're saying is absolutely true, and we do need to get in. And look, as soon as the people start to hear about this, because it will get in the press soon, eventually, And as soon as the people start to hear about it, and then they start to understand, hey, wait a second, I can call, I can actually, there's a phone number, I can call someone up in my county. And we're going to talk about a phone. Matter of fact, I should talk about that right now. But there's actually a phone number in my county I can call up and tell them of all my woes and my bad experiences, and they can fix it? Wow. You see, that's going to be good PR. But you see, one of the things we need to do is we have to have a phone number and we have to have a fax number. I have a service I've been using for quite some time, and it costs $14.95 a month, and it's a very sophisticated phone system. I'm going to be posting up on the internet shortly. Maybe this week I'll get it up there. And right now, if you want to reach into your pocket and open up the phone line or get a collection with a few people, you can point the phone number at numerous people. It can follow. It can go to this one first, that one second, this one third, then back over to here. Numerous, it has a follow me program. You can set it up that on Mondays this person gets the call, and on Thursdays and Wednesdays between these hours that person gets the call. During this time period you want this message to be said, and during this week and a holiday you want that message to be said. So it's very sophisticated. It has a fax system, and the fax can be delivered to whatever email address you put into the system. And let's say there's four people, which should be four, and you want everyone to get the faxes. So all four, you put all four emails in there, and four people will get the faxes. And then you can save them in your computer. You save on paper. Every phone call coming in is totally recorded. You can go in there and delete what you want at a later time, but it's recorded. If you do get a message from someone because they called after hours, it's delivered to your email, and you just open your email and you click on the button and you can listen to the recording. Same thing with the faxes, the same way it comes. So it's a very good system. I spoke with the individual that handles this system, and I asked them if they had some kind of a program, an affiliate program, and they said they did. So I signed up as an affiliate so that we can, anybody who uses this phone system, we get a little piece of your monthly bill. Your price doesn't go up or anything, but we do get a little piece of the action, so that helps to support National Liberty Alliance here. So we saw there was a couple of benefits here. It's an excellent service. I've been using it for, 12 years or more, and I've never had a problem with them. And it's something that's perfect for what we're doing, because we can pass at some point the state will pay for this, of course. But the point is that when you change, let's say you got four people and one person leaves, another person comes in, it's very all just set up. You put their phone number in there and it's all set up to do whatever has to be done. So it's very good. And it allows us to be able to answer the phones, Monday through Friday sort of thing, from 9 to 4 or 9 to 5 or whatever the case may be. And it puts us closer to the people. But we will post a page on our site eventually people will be able to come up to find their grand jury by clicking on their state and their county, and pop, there's the grand jury number. There'll be no identified names with it. People will be called John, Joe, Mary, Frank, whatever. Nothing more than first names are given. And that's for obvious reasons. And then people will call, and you'll be able to help them deal with their problems, and we'll be closer to the community. This is going to be the best PR we can have.
John.
So I will post that information shortly up on the web. Yeah, go ahead, Carl.
So to follow up on what she's saying, what she's asked, it would maybe asking for volunteers on who could be a part of this pool. In other words, so it's a hot story. Journalist wants to get in touch with someone from the grand jury effort, whether it's a county or the state level. This system you're talking about, who can be answering the phone to deal with this journalist?
That's right. Whoever's on that phone can deal with the journalist in generic terms.
Right. So in the meantime, like someone like Tracy, I would hands down vote for her to help do that, because she handles herself well. And
if she wants to step up to the plate, you see, everybody's going to have a phone. We all have to have a phone.
One phone. Answering it.
Right. So they could call me. And if Tracy's if we decide that Tracy's the one that's going to speak to the press, then what we should do is refer them to Tracy. Because, believe me, you don't want just anybody talking to the press. You could stick your foot in your mouth so fast, they take things out of context.
Notice I didn't volunteer. Okay.
No, listen, I was in politics for 4 years. Believe me, I know how to deal with the press.
You should, Gerard.
Oh, man.
But, no, we need a backup. Gerard's working. You need at least a pool of a certain amount of people.
Well, the other thing is, I am
willing to do it to somewhat, and I don't think we want to get too crazy with the press, but when they put stuff out, we need to answer. We need to, like, have that presence, and we can't look like we're hiding. You know what I mean? You have to be, like you said, you got to be proactive. And the best thing to do with the press, what I learned, is if you're out there talking and they're quoting your words, they can put anything in. But if you hand them what they call a press release and you say, here's my press release, they have to go with that. It doesn't matter what you said. It must be a written rule with press corps stuff. If you give them a written statement, they have to put that statement in. Now, they can put their opinion in afterwards, but I found that I was misquoted much less when I gave them a written statement, because the written statement takes more precedent over anything you say. But if you don't write anything down, they're going to take your words and they're going to print them, and they're going to print them as they heard them or as they want people. You know, some people don't hear the same thing that you hear, you know.
Right.
Sometimes they don't want to hear.
We all have to be trained a little bit in this, because, you see, we got to be careful, because these people will start to ask questions that kind of become a little personal, and we got to recognize that and say, wait a second, or we have to respond in such a way that takes the personal part out of it. We have to be generic. We cannot talk about a particular problem or situation or case. That would be totally unethical.
We can't identify names.
We can't identify anybody, even ourselves. We can only have first names on the phone. And these phone systems are set up that we can set up extensions too. So you can set up 4 extensions, one for each person. And the phone lines could come in to one person on Monday and Tuesday, not the others, but just the Monday and Tuesday. But people will have the option to hit the extension for Mary or Joe or Frank, or they get the person who's on call that's answering the phones that day, and so on. And so it's going to be so different than anything that's ever been out there in modern times, in the sense that we actually are opening up the availability of the grand jury to the people. It's going to become very personal with people and intimate, and people are going to know when they have a problem with a clerk or some servant that. And they can't fix it on their own. They give a call, and we'll make a phone call on their behalf. And maybe we'll do it while they're on the line. I mean, we'll say, hey, hang on, let me call this person. You get the person, say, hey, I got so-and-so on the phone, and this is what happened, and what's going on down there. You know, however you want to handle it, you know. But
one of the things that, in my experience, I've learned with PR, literally, you know, PR, publicists, PR firms, is, you know, they spin things, and that's their job. They also information gather, and they drip, and they have really good relationships with journalists and the press, and they information probe, and they information drop without actually doing anything necessarily officially or even giving a name. I don't know if this is, I mean, even if it's appropriate, but if little seeds could be planted, even just educating the press a little bit, it doesn't even have to be a press release or mentioning a name, where you're slowly pulling them towards becoming people again and reminding them of their freedom. That as much as we've come this far, they also do too, and they're the media. They're the ones that are talking to the masses in such a way. I mean, people are spinning the media all the time. Why can't we kind of gain some of that control back in our direction?
Well, I think the media, remember, the media, especially local media, are people too. Right now they're influenced by the powers that be. But the powers that be eventually, the top powers that be eventually will become the people themselves, as the consenters through the common law grand jury will be the powers that be, and they'll be more focused and gravitate more towards us, because the media seems to gravitate towards the power. And usually maybe because they're controlled by them too. But all that's going to stop, I think. it's up to us to make a change, and I guess we'll all have some creative ideas, and we'll try different things. And over time, when someone in one county does something that really seemed to work well and they share it with us at a national meeting, and then we all try it or others try it, you know, then it can expand. We could do different things. But, yeah, if anybody has a particular idea that they'd like to write down and submit it to us, and we'll go through it and discuss it at another time and then try to adopt something as a possibility, maybe two or three or four things. Let people decide what they want to do or use. But, yes, look, the key thing is we want to get out into our community. We want to be available to our community. We want to get into our schools. We'll even go and talk to the schools. We should go talk to the grammar schools. We should talk to the high schools. We should talk to the colleges. We should get out there.
Huh? Homeschoolers.
Homeschoolers, absolutely. Get the homeschoolers, everybody. We should go talk to these people and let them ask questions about the grand jury, and let's tell them what common law is all about. Make sure it's in their schools and their curriculum to learn about this stuff, the committee man process for the political system, political process, the grand jurist or the trial jurist for the judicial process, and teach them what they need to know as one of the people. You know,
I just
and how it's their duty to make sure that when they get the phone call that they serve, if at all possible. Sometimes you can't, but if at all possible, they serve. But, yeah,
just as a point of interest, there was that article that kind of smeared that guy having his grand jury election, and they quoted the DA, and they quoted this professor. They really slanted the article, and I happened to comment on it, but it was funny because the guy they were writing about that they were trying to discredit, he said, it didn't bother me. He said, I picked up two new members with that bad press. So sometimes bad press is better than no press, because people looked into what was going on, even though they kind of slanted it, and they looked into the thing, and they came out and they asked questions, and they said, oh, wow, I want to get involved with this. So the bad press didn't affect them the way you would think it was. It made them more curious, you know? As a matter of fact, I think people are starting to get sophisticated enough now. When they get bad press, they know that maybe they should check it out, because it's probably the opposite of what the press is saying, you know. So, you know, it's just a point. You can take and spin press any way you want, and Al Sharpton is the king of bad press. He built his reputation by getting bad press first. That's how he that's how he started out, I'm telling you. That I knew him very, you know, intimately, or well, not intimately, but he was right up the street.
I hope not.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. More than I wanted to. And the guy is such a BS artist, and he is an artist, and it is with BS, believe me. And that's how he got where he was. And he took that bad press. You know, it's just like the New World Order. They never see something. They never saw an obstacle that they couldn't turn into an opportunity. And that's why they move the way they do. You know, because they're always looking for, how can we turn this into an asset instead of a problem?
Anything else, Stacy?
No, thank you so much.
Okay. All right,
Wait a minute. Somebody on here from Arizona was asking me, how many people are in Arizona? How do I find out? Who do I call? Well, I just went to Arizona. There's like 15 leaders in Arizona.
Yeah, just go out here. Watch the website here that we have.
Yeah, go on to the website.
You click on
county leaders.
County organizers.
Right, organizers.
Okay, Arizona.
Arizona.
Click on Arizona. Scroll down below the states on Arizona. You got 15 leaders in Arizona.
You can call any one of them or some of them or whatever.
And it may be. I think there is a state leader for Arizona. Let me see. You might want to call the state leader if there is. Yeah, Charles McCain. They got 7 counties elected, and they got 8 more to go. And Charles McCain, here's his phone number. You can give him a call. You should definitely talk to him.
I don't remember who it was, because when I went to answer the question, I hit the little trash can and I threw the question away. Yeah. And so I lost her name. I'm sorry.
Okay, we have 2 people open. We have Steve and we have Marilyn. Marilyn, you go right first.
Okay, I just have something real quick to say. In the presentment, you have Suffolk County twice. Once
yes,
before
we realized.
Sullivan.
We struck it. I struck it. And when I I'm going to read to be able to do those pages on the front, so I will take them out of the front end page. So I will correct that. Yeah.
That's all.
Okay.
When we do these presentments, John, once the grand jury deliberates and does a presentment, there should be no problem making those letters public, because once it's done, right? It's not secret anymore.
Well, let's find out what the norm is. If there isn't the norm, and let's discuss it. I think it maybe should be sent to the news in a way, maybe, but
yeah,
I don't know.
In other words,
I
we can't
know.
Talk about it when we're deliberating. We deliberate in secret. But what the minute somebody gets indicted, listen, the prosecutor, when they indict somebody, goes in the newspaper. Boom.
Okay,
it's
so
public,
let's
it's a public thing.
Let's think about that and talk about that next month.
Well, people are out here, they're asking if they're going to see the examples of the answers that we gave these people. So, yeah, I mean, once it's over, I mean, we have to be careful that when we're investigating, we don't put too much stuff out. Which
well,
we,
it is news when people someone is indicted.
It is
so.
News, and it's a learning tool. How do we not show them the letter we got, which is from a public official, to we the people, right? We get a letter, and then our response
yeah, especially
to that
being a public individual, yes.
Yeah, so they don't have the amount of anonymity that a normal person
right, let's chew on that a little bit before we
yeah,
make
because it's very – the people out here want to see – I mean
– Well, look, at the people in our group here, they have to see it. We're
showing
them.
That's what I'm talking about.
We have no choice. Oh, it is up here, by the way. It is available. I guess I forgot to tell you. We have to make it available.
Right.
Okay, if you go up to the juris documents, and remember, do not get this to the press. Do not share this with the public. This is for your edification. We're doing the best we can. We have to share it. We know we have infiltrators here. Shame on them. But nevertheless, we'll do the best we can. We'll be as honorable as we can. But click on juris documents, okay? And let me tell you, if you haven't looked at these documents, you need to look at these documents. These documents are important, extremely important. How to handle the press, letters to the county clerk if rejected, talking points. I'll tell you, we have an MP3 and a PDF of a trial by jury written by a guy, Spooner, back in 1847, I think it was, and it was put onto MP3s. So look, this is heavy duty. Anybody who hasn't listened to this, they need to come up and listen to these tapes. But
yeah,
anyway,
really
down
good.
On the bottom, here is the Nassau County clerk letter. Here is the answer to the clerk. And here is the presentment, the true bill. And again, this is not for public edification. Although it's on a public site, we need to get this into a closed site as quick as we can. That's why if anybody has Drupal experience, please give me a call if they can give us some time. Huh?
I put a name and a number in your text chat on Skype. Somebody from the group here tonight said call him. He'll help you.
I'll call you tonight if I can get you tonight. If not, I'll call you tomorrow if I can't get you tonight.
It's in your Skype. I put it there because I knew I was liable to forget. Okay?
Okay. So anyway, here it is out here. So here is the information. Again, do not share it with the press. Don't give it to the common people. Just keep it amongst ourselves. And it is what it is. With the new site, we will have private pages that in order to get to see these things, you'll have to be signed in. And also, anybody that's not on the new site, you'll be able to make comments and make statements and do different things. And unless you're one of us, you know, that you signed in and registered, you cannot do that. And so anything you do on that new site is recorded, of course, or will be recorded also with the sense. I believe it would pick up your computer identification. But in any event, what's next? Who's next?
I don't know who you were talking to. I just want to say that when you're reading these answers and these letters, essentially you're learning common law because that's what's getting used here, and you're picking up a lot of procedural stuff. I mean, then when you go from this and you listen to some of the common law tapes we have on the site, it'll make more sense. The two feed each other. So if you don't know common law, you haven't been exposed to it, you should be listening to those tapes and familiarizing yourself, because believe it or not, as you read the responses that are made to this stuff, it's all done with common law. And, you know, I mean, we have a little bit of UCC stuff, but it's all in education. So, you know, you should augment that by your own studies, going to the site and listening to some of those tapes, and you'll recognize some of that stuff when you're listening to like Thornton and the different ones. You'll recognize some of those words in John's answers, So just keep, you know, help educate you further each time.
Okay, next is Stephen Santiago, I believe from the Bronx. Go right ahead. And Marilyn, by the way, I just took your hand down. I don't know if you raised your hand back up again. If you want to talk again, raise your hand. Stephen Santiago from the El Bronxo. Hello? Get a little closer to your mic. I'm picking something up.
Hello.
Hello.
John.
Yes, try it. You're breaking a little bit, but try it. Yes, Stephen, go ahead. Try.
Oh, that's not very good.
Yeah, it's coming in bad, but we might be able to understand you. Try. Sounds like he has a connection problem.
Yeah.
I know there's a RAM requirement, and if you're low on RAM, but most computers should have no RAM, no problem with RAM. Stephen, try again. I will leave Stephen's mic open. We'll go to the next call, and if he can fix whatever he's fixing, he can pipe in. Donald Moxley, is he next?
Yep.
Or Michael, Johnny B.
No.
Michael.
No, Donald's been up for a
27
while.
Minutes. Go ahead, Donald.
Sounds like Vietnam.
Yeah. Donald, go right ahead. Donald? Donald Boxley.
Donald Boxley. Yes, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Somebody's cheating on the election process. Alabama's got two counties, and we're fixing to get a third county. And Alabama's listed with zero elections. That's the information.
Well, does Alabama have a state coordinator? Let's see. Because it's the coordinator's job to give me a call and let me know. So let's see.
The coordinator's job to give me a call and let me know. Let's see.
Alabama. That's you.
I've got two elections, and I have a third one Saturday.
Okay, so I'll put you down for three, considering Saturday's
book. Okay, so I'll put you down for three, considering Saturday's book. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, anything else?
Okay, yeah. All right, anything else? As far as bad press goes, when they say that county's creating a common law jury, the press lied because we're not creating anything. We're reinstating them.
That's
you
right.
You print a retraction when they print stuff like that.
That's right.
All right. That's all.
Okay. All right. I'll get you for not three. Bad. I'll try to get that tonight or tomorrow morning.
Okay.
I'll get up there and fix it.
All right. I'll get you for three. I'll try to get that tonight or tomorrow morning. I'll get up there and fix it. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Donald. All right, anybody else? Let's see, Johnny B. Michael, we'll try you again. Go ahead, Johnny.
Hey, we got it now?
We got you now.
Oh, man, you talk about major problems. I'm down here in extreme southeast Kansas, and I'm dealing with a lot of people that are either hesitant to get online or they're not able to get online. They don't have internet service to their house.
Okay.
Any recommendations? Right now, whatever paperwork I can pull off the website and get to them.
Well, yeah, they can definitely visit us if you can register them and give them or talk to us about registering them. They can come in on the phone lines. At least they can get the Monday night calls through the phone. And, that's a tough one because there is an orientation. When we do orientation in the courthouse for incoming jurors, let's say we're orientating a group of jurors, and let's say we have 15 people coming in for a trial jury, and you know, it's 12, but then they have a couple extra, so whatever it is. And we call them in. We want to spend 4 hours with them, and we'll have video. We'll show maybe an hour video or something like that. And then we'll have a list of things to touch base with them on and talk about and have conversation. And each county will develop their own little twist to it, so to speak. They'll add and subtract and create their own orientation. But we will create one to start off with, and like anything else, it can grow and change. But the key thing, of course, is to build and develop in the minds of these people a state of mind. And again, we try to mention as often as possible, we're trying to get to develop a sense of justice, a sense of honor, and a sense of mercy. And then, of course, we have the two principal maxims, which for every injury there must be a remedy. And the second one is for there to be a crime committed, there must be an injured party. So those are the 5 points that really we have to drill into the minds of people. And we have some really good short tapes that talk about what liberty is. We show one of them at the election. So that's something we might want to show. I don't know that we want to get into fiction with the general public. Anybody who gets involved with us on a bigger level, they'll want to understand the fiction, which ultimately will disappear, but some of that stuff is UCC stuff, because that's what they use to develop their fiction here in right. our country. But, you know, UCC stuff is real stuff. So we that are involved, we want to know and understand how the UCC stuff works in the federal courts. We want to make sure that the federal courts don't defraud anybody by using that against them without their knowledge, claiming a particular jurisdiction. We want to get out our scissors and cut, I think one of the first order of businesses, and I'm going to do this in my court, is we're going to have to remove those fringes, and I'll cut them off. I'll bring in a pair of scissors, and I'll cut them off every flag in that courthouse.
Absolutely.
Now, that may be a little pushy, but I don't know whether
I've got a mentor that's told me to bring my own Title IV with me and just fly it as you walk in.
But anyway,
I am starting to see a groundswell, John.
Huh?
I am starting to see a groundswell, so I'm going to start posting my public notices and line up a room for a presentation.
Great. You don't need to do the public notices anymore, okay? We found that's become a problem to begin with, and it just creates all the enemies come out and they go crazy. It's like the full moon. So we don't do the postings. We do the newspaper, of course. And we do make as many phone calls as possible to get people out to the election. But you know, the best thing you could do for people who aren't on the Internet is, you know, what they should do is tell them to go visit the library once a week or as often as they can and go into the library and get in there, get into our website. If they have a laptop, they can go to coffee houses and different things like that. Also, someone can try to start putting up some CDs or DVDs and get some things going for them to use on their computer. You know, I'll tell you what. Here's a great idea. You can go out and buy a USB thumb drive. Okay, they can go out and get a thumb drive, and they can give it to you. Goodness, you get 20, 30 gigs on that easy. And you can go up online and just download all kinds of stuff.
That's a good thought there.
And then just give them the thumb drive. They plug it in their computer, and it's just like being on the site. Now, I might be able to get a copy of the site. I can do this site on a thumb drive. I might be able to get a copy of the new site on a thumb drive and make it available, and people would have to just give us the money, of course, get the thumb drive and mail it out to them or something like
that. Give me a heads up on that, John.
I've got
the ability to copy it.
Yeah, or there is a program out there, which that's the way to go. I can give you a program. It's a free program. And with that program, you can go to any site and download it. You can copy the entire website, and you can put it right onto that USB, and you can give it to them. Now, they won't get the updates, but at least they'll have the basics, and they have to be warned to remember to. They should go to the library from time to time to look for updates. But we'll talk about that. That's a good idea. I will post. What I will do is I will get that software. Let me make sure that it was free. I'm pretty sure I got it for free. I don't think I paid for it. And if it is for free, I will post that software to make it downloadable right off our website. I'll put it up on a document page or something and then give a little instruction. Very simple. And then you can go up and download anything onto a USB, and that's it. Done.
And don't forget, McDonald's and Denny's and them have free Wi-Fi if you go in there. Get a cup of coffee, sit in the back, you can hook to their Wi-Fi, and you can go
sure.
Like with a laptop.
That's what I'm working with, my laptop, and I've had a couple, but most of the people want hard data. You know, they want that hard copy to read if they aren't on.
Right.
But, yeah, those are good ideas, John. You've got my email, so let me know if that service
yeah.
is free.
Well, catch me back up on that on Monday again next week, and or give me a call. And, meanwhile, I'm going to make a note, download program and USB thumb drive. Okay.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Anything else?
No, that's it. Have a good evening.
Okay. Anybody else? Joe Kelly, or who's next, Gerard? Joe Kelly? Let's see. I'm looking to see how.
RP.
Well, he just put his hand down.
RP McKinley. Oh, so Joe Kelly's hand is still up there. No, okay. RP McKinley.
Huh?
It was up. RP McKinley was up.
Okay, let's go with RP. Go ahead, RP. You got the mic. RP. RP McKinley, I hear something in the background. You there? Okay, I guess not. Let's go to Joe Kelly. Go right ahead, Joe.
Hey, I just want to say, and the first thing is, if there's any reason you guys don't want me to participate, just tell me. There's no need to, you know, like drop me off.
We don't want you here no more, Joe. Go away. Just
okay.
Kidding. Just kidding. But
okay,
go ahead.
Okay. The good news, I think, is that what you guys are doing, and I'd want to participate, is inventing adaptive and competitive production of networked, effective defense of liberty.
Okay.
And liberty to me is the freedom from crimes perpetrated by criminals in office. And then there's a word for that. It's called malfeasance.
What is that? Malfeasance?
Malfeasance.
Can you spell it?
Yeah.
I think I've seen that word before, but go ahead, M.
Okay. And see, now the problem that I've been having, and I would be on your California, I'd have my phone number right there, and it's not there. You have no phone number for California. But I have the problem with, oh, see now, the guys that are in office, you know, regular old criminals, they're just regular old criminals. But someone in office is supposed to have taken an oath so that now there's an unmistakable subservience to the Creator, or if you don't even believe in the biblical stuff, which I, you know, have my own questions, then you have an unmistakable subservience to natural law. And natural law is just for you to understand. You poke somebody in the eye, and you're not going to expect that person to just cower down. That natural law takes over, right?
Right.
Boy, that's not the way they see it. You're right. That's the way it's supposed to be, but I don't think that's the way they see it.
Okay, so the problem I still have with the oath concerns the reference to the Constitution, which I know is a usurpation, and I can give you tons of information that prove that the Constitution
Well, yeah, but the thing is this is we want to hold their feet to the fire. They have to take that oath. An oath of office is required to them, and their oath is to uphold the Constitution as the servants, okay? So it's kind of special for them. So as a servant, they have to uphold the fact that they have rules, which was written down in a constitution, and defined for them, and they can't step outside that authority. And they also, of course, have certain rights that we listed out. But the key bottom line to the whole thing is don't make any legislation that controls my behavior. So I think for them it's an appropriate thing. I agreed with you because, you see, it didn't dawn on me, and I'm still growing like anyone else. It didn't dawn on me the fact that we're not servants. We are the people, and we're not under the Constitution, so we're not going to take an oath to the Constitution, but we're going to take an oath to someone. We'll take our oath to the creator of the universe. But for them, they're taking their oath to that Constitution that they are promising to obey and to uphold it. And not to trample upon it.
Okay, I was going to continue with that. The actual oath that you wrote is fine because it includes the Bill of Rights and the Bill of Rights. So, to me, the Bill of Rights refutes a lot of the crap that's in the Constitution, and so that part's fine. But then the oath is on a piece of paper, and it's an affidavit, and what I think is needed before I can move forward is a reference on the piece of paper, that's the affidavit, that refers to the man-made laws that are subservient to the Creator's law or natural law or the Bill of Rights or the Declaration of Independence. Okay, so subservient to that, then a level down is, and I think it's needed on the affidavit, is a reference to the code, if it's U.S. code or whatever, that I can say to whoever I'm talking to say that this is an affidavit and this is where I get my authority from. And it says, okay, the code says that this piece of paper is the piece of paper that is acknowledged or is authoritative under the Constitution with the Bill of Rights.
I'm not sure I understand. No, I'm not following you.
Okay, so why is this?
Try to make it a little simpler.
What?
Try to make it simpler. Are you talking about an oath that we take, or are you talking about an oath that they take?
No, I'm talking about an oath that I take.
He wants to move away from the Constitution and more to the Bill of Rights and the...
Well, hold it. No. You can't move away from the Constitution because the Constitution lays out what Congress can do, what the legislators can do. It lays out what the...
Right. And in his mind, there was problems with that. We acknowledge that there was some problems. The thing is everybody's perception of what the Constitution should be, as opposed to maybe some of the stuff that crept in. I mean, look at the New York
but
State Constitution.
Those problems are not a problem to us in today's day and age, though, the particular ones that he may be talking about.
No, I think there's listen, New York State's Constitution's got some problems.
That's why we didn't put in a New York State Constitution. This is the U.S. Constitution trumps all, and it starts off with there's legislative power and so on and so forth.
Well, his hook is...
Our government in the state mirrors the federal government. They're both the same.
Right. So his hook is that the Constitution has some usurpations in it, the way it was written. Am I right?
No, you're not. You're not. I can speak for myself.
I thought he misunderstood you. Go ahead. Go ahead, then.
I'm perfectly willing to go with the Constitution as you've written the affidavit because it says and, the word and, Bill of Prohibitions or Rights. So I'm perfectly okay with that because, in my mind, that leaves interpretation open to my understanding of why the Bill of Rights was put in there and how those Bill of Rights were intended to check the abuses by the people who wrote the Constitution.
Right.
And I can I can go through all the documentation.
All right, well, we don't have to, but the point is that we're good now with this. This works for you, too.
No, but my point right now is, as far as that affidavit goes, it's something I can use, but there's a missing link between it, the piece of paper, and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So where would I find that?
What's the missing piece of information between the two?
The missing piece of information is what makes an affidavit worth anything other than a piece of paper. I mean, worth used toilet paper.
Well, because you're putting a sworn statement and there's a witness that you're swearing to the statement. And I know some people claim that notaries only have the fact that you made the signature, but that's not true because a lot of other people say, no, you swear. And I just did some affidavits today, and in my bank, every time I go to my bank to do it, they always ask me, do you swear to the contents of this document, so on and so forth, and that they're true and to the best of your knowledge, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, I do. So they're taking an oath on me.
Well, the notary's supposed to read the thing because you don't always need to swear. Sometimes it is just verifying your signature on certain legal documents, and other times it's swearing. And when it's swearing, she's supposed to make you swear.
Right, and on the bottom of it, it says, it lists out what the swearing is. Yeah.
Right. And so most of them will do it. Some of them forget to do it. You have to remind them or whatever. But an affidavit is the basis of law because what happens is when you go in and you make a sworn statement, it's considered truth unless it's proven wrong. So it's the basis of our law. That's why the guy who gets to the police first and makes us an affidavit, the other guy is at a disadvantage because you might, you know, he has to prove now that he's innocent, even though we say, You're innocent until you're proven guilty.
Because he became the plaintiff.
Let me tell you what. If you got a sworn affidavit, what that sworn affidavit says, I'm swearing to the God of nature and everybody else, and under pain of perjury, that this is the truth, that you damaged me, and that's the basis of all law because now you made a sworn statement, and believe me, under common law, especially, you don't want to be putting any false affidavits in because that's serious stuff, you know. So that's, okay. I think, I don't know if that's enough of a hook for you, but I do believe that I've read that an affidavit, I think Thornton says, is the basis of all law, right, John?
Well, an affidavit unrebutted is
unrebutted.
Stands as truth.
And one of the things, and what we notice with these public officials, and especially like the IRS and stuff,
they don't use affidavits for anything because
Now you can go after them for making a false statement, whereas if they just make a statement and they don't swear to it and it's not notarized that they swore to it, they get away with it. There's no affidavits. And actually, if there's no affidavits, there's really no cause of action, right?
That's right. It's got to be a sworn statement by a plaintiff or the people themselves. So if someone came in to the grand jury or to a police, and then police brings it to the grand jury, because remember, the grand jury has to approve everything, okay? No one goes to jail without approval. And of course, we don't want to send people to jail unless we have to. We're looking for remedy. We're always looking for remedy, but of course, violence we have to deal with differently. The bottom line is that, If someone robs something, stole something from you, you're going to come tell somebody, and you do a sworn statement. Without that sworn statement, nobody can do nothing. Okay, they can't move anyway. You can't go up again. You got to make a sworn statement, and it's got to be with a notary.
And that's the problem with a lot of these laws that they're hanging over our heads. Like when a cop pulls you over and stuff, there's no sworn affidavit.
Right.
No injured party and there's no affidavit. So technically it has no weight of law under common law.
Right. The lawyers like to do an affirmation, stupid affirmation, but they're not even part of they're not even a witness and they don't know what went on. It's a joke.
Okay.
But anyway, go ahead, Joe.
It's late and I'm not really here for argument, but I guess your answer is that the reference is common law. So then it's unspoken. It's cultural and it's experience.
Well, absolutely.
Okay. So instead of
well, you're going to get a case thrown out.
Hold on. I think he's suggesting to put a word of common law in here maybe or something. Go ahead.
Well, to me, you have to nail down the hierarchy of authority. So either or, and it's the same thing because they actually say the same thing, natural law or God's law.
Right, deliberating of the natural law. We have it right in there. And to carry out all of my deliberation under natural law, principled under justice, honor, and mercy.
Yes, I'm all along on that. I'm just trying to communicate something.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the hierarchy from the top down, and it goes down the list. Natural law, God's law, same thing. Take your pick. And then next is U.S. Constitution with the Bill of Rights, complete, one and the same thing. You can't pick and choose. It can't be in controversy. Then the next thing is missing, and then the next thing is an affidavit. So my question concerned what fits in between the affidavit and natural law, then Constitution, and I guess your answer is common law.
It's well, common law is the cohesiveness of all of this, absolutely, because remember, the U.S. Constitution is a common law document. The Bill of Prohibitions is a common law document. The Declaration of Independence is a common law document. The Magna Carta is a common law document. These two maxims are common law principles. The principles that we actually hold are common law, you know, justice, honor, and mercy. So, yes, the cohesiveness of all of this is common law.
Okay, so in between I and then whoever and then I vow can be something along the lines of according to common law.
Let's see. Okay, we did put some footnotes in here because we went to take the word. I wanted to really be able to help the people who might have a problem with vowing before God. And God speaks of people vowing, and he says, fine, just make sure you keep it because you're in trouble if you don't. So if you read
okay,
this.
Okay, can I interrupt? Can I interrupt?
Sure.
Okay. I keep in mind me trying to meet people and trying to tell them this is serious stuff. And if I have that in there that it says according to common law, then if I'm asked according to common law, I tell them, you've been absent. You need to get up to speed. According to common law means if there's 25 people on a jury or if there's 12 people on a jury, then it's those 12 people or those 25 people, depending upon the seriousness of the matter, who decide. Not only whether there's guilt or innocence, but the actual validity of the law. And that's all under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And that Constitution and those Bill of Rights are under natural and God's law. So, if you want to know where my authority comes from for this affidavit, that's where it comes from. If you want to go around injuring people, you have to face a jury of your peers. That is according to common law.
Okay, so we can, and common law and natural law are synonymous. We can put, I vow, according to natural law, to the governor of the universe. We might be able to insert it someplace else, but let's just think about it. In my capacity as jurist, to ensure that all public servants uphold the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Prohibitions and to carry out all of... So we could put it there, I think. I vow...
Why
don't we say
governor
I vow under...
First.
I vow under or according to natural law or under natural law. I guess according to natural...
Me personally, I would keep governor of the universe ahead of natural law, if you're not going to incorporate them as the same thing.
Okay, I vow to the governor of the universe according to natural law or under natural law. Well, you see, vowing to the governor of the universe puts you right under the common law right there. That's it.
Oh, You're missing terms. You're missing terms there, and that is the problem. See, the problem is, can you agree that there's a very serious problem, a very serious battle over the meaning of words?
Yes, there is. I agree.
Okay. I can show you two different definitions of common law. I can also show you another very sore point for me is the definition of democracy. And can I, if you have the time, explain the two different versions of the definition of democracy?
Is that a question to me?
Yes.
Can I explain the two different? Can I do this next week?
It's late.
Yeah, but you're asking me.
No. He wants to explain it to you if you have.
Okay. Yeah. Do that next week. How long? How much time do you need?
It's like 3-4 sentences.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's finish this up first, and maybe we'll look at it now. Let's do it next week because we put it on the recording because I'm going to shut the recording off in a minute. Look at, I vow, how do you think this should be then? I vow to the governor of the universe under common law?
Why don't you let him write it?
Yes. I think common law is the one, the actual words you want to use, but you have to understand that word, common law, has been
hijacked.
Just like sovereign and citizen.
Yeah, we know that they hijacked it. But we don't care because we know what the truth is, and we're going to use the reality of the word, not the fiction of the word.
Okay, the reality of the word for me, when I understand the origin of the word in the context that it's meant, is that, and this goes back to Spooner, and this goes back to Magna Carta, the reality of the word is that it is the country, meaning the whole people, create and enforce these laws based upon natural law or God's law. So it's not the counterfeit version of the meaning, which means basically the same thing as admiralty law. So I would put common law in there only because it's customary in this country to align yourself with this Constitution, with this Bill of Rights, and this concept of common law, which came over from England when people were escaping tyranny.
Right.
And they came over here, and they brought with them the original version of common law.
Okay, so give me where you think these words might go. Read it with those words in it.
So, in other words, someplace after governor of the universe.
Yes, let him read it. Let him read where he thinks it should be. Go ahead.
Right.
I vow.
No, I would put it affidavit, next line would be according to common law.
Oh, affidavit according to the common law?
Yeah. Affidavit, as it's written, that's the title of what this is, space, and then according to common law. You're not citing a code. You're not citing the Constitution. You're not citing anything. You're telling people that, hey, look, according to common law, this is the right thing to do. This piece of paper has standing.
Right, right.
And it's not according to U.S. code. It's not according to UCC. It's according to common law. And the common law is based on the concept of you do this procedure that's a procedure that is a due process that is due everyone without exception. That's all part of common law. And this procedure says that this affidavit is the way to proceed. And then the rest of your stuff down there, I had no problem with. I tried to tell you that last week.
Right.
Because
I will add that in.
Beautiful.
Gerard seems to like it, and I like it too.
No, I like it. And I also think, you know, a lot of stuff with this word magic, you know, the context that you're using the word in should prevent them from bastardizing it. You see, what you just did here, you almost can't put that meaning on it. I mean, you take this document as a whole, these words as a whole, you almost have to come up with the right definition of common law, using it in the way that you're using it.
Gerard, it doesn't matter. What matters is whether you guys get the power, which you are going to get. I mean, you're in the belly of the beast over there in New York. So if you get that power, then it's going to spread. And the only way it's not going to spread is if there's an economic collapse and then all hell breaks loose.
Right. That's why we can't plan on rush. Let me take this opportunity to pound my drum a little bit to everybody that's listening. Listen, this is why we need to rush this thing before there is an economic collapse. If there is an economic collapse and we have this whole thing in place and we're working together with our sheriff and our court and everything, we can maintain control and protection of our country. But if we don't have this in place, then we're in big trouble, So we got to get out there and work. Look, you got to put your extra activities aside. You know, I mean, I'll even go as far as say if you could take a day off of work from time to time to do something with this, do it, whatever. That's how important this is. So let's do it.
That's the other reason we've been trying to keep our heads low, because we want to get this thing instituted and we want to get our foot in the door. And we really don't want a whole bunch of media attention and stuff, because that could serve to let them if they understand where we are and how close we are, we could be the trigger point to that economic collapse. They may say, let's do it now, because if these guys get in, we're done. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be a little careful as far as much as we can. I know we don't have control over a lot of these things, but let's not push the issue up in their faces so that they feel us coming. I think right now we're still sort of under the radar, only because a lot of them are compartmentalized. They're a little dumbed down. They don't understand the law. They don't understand these words. They wouldn't have had a conversation this long over a word in their whole life. So I think we're a little ahead of them, and I think, you know, by the grace of God, we get through, and that's what I'm hoping for, that they don't see us coming and they don't pull the trigger, because they realize that if we get in, they're going to have troubles. And, I mean, that could happen.
With that, let me just take a moment to shut off the recorder. We'll continue for a little while longer.